right, if you want to get your Bibles out tonight, Psalm 104.
Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. And God, thank you that we can bring our requests and our needs before you, and that you hear us and you care and that you love us. God, we come to you tonight again how we always come. Lord, we need help. We need your mercy. We need your grace. We need your guidance. We need your comfort. We need your strength. Lord, we need you to be you. Lord, I pray as we look through the scriptures here tonight that we'd be strengthened and encouraged, knowing that you hear us and that we can speak with you and that you do care about what's going on in our life. Lord, I pray you'd bless service here tonight. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As a Christian, I don't want to say easy messages to preach. Read your Bible, pray, witness, and we can speak of those things frequently. And I think we got to be careful not to, I've heard a message on prayer. I've heard a message on how important the scriptures are, or I heard about the lost. Tell me something new. But I do believe that one of the greatest maybe delinquencies in this generation of Christianity is our quiet time with the Lord and our prayer time. It is the strength of the Christian, therefore it will be the attack of the Christian. The Word of God, the compass, the sword, so much as guides us, and again the enemy immediately trying to get us from the scriptures as we go through hard times, maybe in life, ups and downs of life. Oftentimes we close the scriptures and put them aside instead of diving in deeper. Prayer is one of those things. Over the last couple weeks on Wednesday nights, we've been speaking on prayer and what the Bible says about it. I want to encourage you tonight again about the need for prayer, but different prayers throughout the scripture. As there is a demand for prayer, unfortunately, there is also sometimes an absence of prayer. Maybe you're different than me, but it is easier for me to sit in my chair with a cup of tea or coffee and with the wood stove going next to me and open up the scriptures and get lost for a half hour, 45 minutes. That's easier. It is harder for me to dedicate quiet time mentally just in time of prayer. That's harder. Maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you're saying, give me the prayer time. It's hard for me to read, comprehend, and get a hold of the scriptures. I'm the other way, all right? So tonight's message is a reminder to me as it is to you also. We need to pray, church. Amen. I don't want to overemphasize, but I don't think we can overemphasize the need for prayer. Yeah. I do believe, and I understand when I say this, that the prayer meeting, this might be the most important service throughout the week. Yeah. This is where we bring our petitions and maybe execute the things that we do throughout the rest of the week. And God helps us and leads us and delivers and does what he does because of the things that happen here. And I want to remind you of how important prayer is and how we need to pray. As the days come to the end, it is not time to back off on that. It is time to evermore persevere in prayer. Psalm 104 in verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Psalm 104, did I tell you 104? Okay. Psalm 104, verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariots, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. Hey, what do we need to pray? How do we need to pray? The need for prayer? Number one, as we read this passage, just to adore God for who He is, the prayer of adoration. Adoration is simply praising God for who He is. God is the Lord of all and deserves our praise because of that one fact alone. As we read through these things and as we read the scripture, bless the Lord, O my soul. How are we to pray? We're praying with all of our heart. And as we talk to God, we simply just remind God of who He is. When we make God who He is, it helps us be who we ought to be. It gets us in the right perspective. I've brought this illustration up probably 100 times, but it works so well. When things get out of whack in our roles, maybe in our families, when kids run the house, that's backwards. And it's a mess. It's a menace. Hey, when animals run the zoo, it's a menace. When man runs his life, it's a menace. It's a problem. What helps us with that? The prayer of adoration. Say, I struggle with praying. Maybe you just, for a period of time, you just kneel before God and remind God of who He is. It helps us. It helps us mentally and in heart remember who He is. As we talk to the Lord about being our great comforter and our guide and in His strength, man, it makes me want to come to Him. In Psalm 99, turn there. Psalm 99, look at verse number 5. Psalm 99 in verse 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. Look at these next words. For He is holy. God is holy. And because of that holiness and because of His very character, we ought to have a prayer of adoration where we just lift up the name of God. Remind Him about His holiness. Remind Him about His mercy. Remind Him about His creation. You know what? God likes that. If I came to you and I brought, now maybe not Brother Sutliff, but I brought Brother Sutliff up here and I started talking about the Marines and I started talking about Department of Water over at Carleton and we started just boasting on what a blessing Brother Sutliff is, oh, he might hang his head. But inside, that feels good, right? When someone talks nice about you, who doesn't like that? We used to do that in the classroom. I would have the students, Miranda, maybe you remember, we would have that exercise where you'd go around and you have to write something nice about everybody. And then you'd give that person, hey, this is what your classmate said. This is how you are perceived in the classroom. And man, that makes you know, the Lord likes that. The Lord likes it when you tell Him how great He is and how wonderful He is and how holy He is. And it helps us remember that too. Adoration, the prayer of adoration. In 1 Peter chapter number 5, there's a second prayer that we'll talk about tonight. In 1 Peter chapter number 5, a simple message tonight, but a great reminder. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Pastor Seatman and I were talking a little bit this afternoon in my office, and we were talking, and he goes, I don't know why, but when you're preaching, you get to the scripture verses so fast. He goes, when I'm preaching, it takes me forever to find the scripture verses. Like, I can't even remember where Matthew is, he's telling me, and we were laughing about it. I don't know. I was just telling you that while we were turning. It was just like, it was like a little commercial. We have the need for prayer. What kind of prayer? The prayer of adoration. The prayer of lamentation. Now, that's a big word, but God wants us to bring our fears, our doubts, and our despair to Him. And 1 Peter 5, 7, say, how do you know that? 1 Peter 5, 7 tells us, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He wants you to say, God, I'm doubting right now. And you know what He says? Tell me about that. Lord, I'm afraid. Tell me what your fears are. I'd like to hear. You know, if my child came to me, and if I was a good parent, and my child came to me and said, Daddy, I'm afraid. If I was a good parent, I'd say, well, tell me what your fears are. Help me to understand. If I was a bad parent, I'd say, get away, there's no big deal, there's no problem. No, he said, and the Lord is a compassionate. So when he says, I want to know about your cares, I want to know about your fears, I want to know about your doubts, I want to know about your despair, he says, bring them to me, cast them to me. Let's talk about them. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Many of faithful followers have wrestled with doubts and difficulty, and may I say even depression. I've read a lot of books about people that we hold in high esteem in the faith over the last centuries. And there are times in their life where they are very discouraged, depressed. See, what they do? They brought those things to the Lord. That's what we ought to do. You know, there's a whole book called Lamentations. Have you read Lamentations? It's not a long book. It's written by Jeremiah, also known as the Weeping Prophet, as he looks out over Israel and he sees the consequence of their sin and departure from the things of God. It just breaks his heart. And he writes down some of those words. God obviously takes an interest in it. And Psalm 88, let's go there. We'll look at a couple psalms. The prayer of lamentation tonight. Prayer of adoration. Psalm 88 and verse 1, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Psalm 88 and verse 2, let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles. Hey, what we ought to do when our heart is just overwhelmed, we should bring those things to God. And my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that the psalmist here is thinking he's on his way out. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. Say, that didn't sound very encouraging. No, he's crying out to God. God, this is how I'm feeling. Say, come on, you're a man. We don't talk about feeling. No, it's okay to bring your doubts and fears and cares to God. He says, bring them to me. He wants them. Amen. He wants to talk to you about them. Hey, again, when my child comes to me and says, Dad, I'm afraid. Whether it's, Dad, I'm kind of nervous about starting college. This isn't just the three-year-old that's afraid of the monster that's underneath his bed. No, like real-life stuff. Dad, I don't know what to do about this. Well, what's the best thing? Well, son, tell me about that. Let's talk about that. Let's pray about that. The greatest thing as a parent I could do is point them back to the Lord. Amen. When someone comes with real fears, hey, don't just throw those things away. Oh, it's nothing. It's just pizza you ate last night. You're fine. Get over it. Man up. Hey, there's a time to stand strong in the faith. But there are real fears and doubts that happen. And God says, what should I do? I cry unto the Lord. My soul is full of trouble. And I'm just going to pray to God. And I'm praying that he hears me. Hey, I want to let you know that he hears you. Amen. Psalm chapter 13, look there. There's nothing wrong with bringing those requests to God. Psalm 13, verse 2. Psalm 13 and verse 2. How long shall I counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? In Psalm 13, verse 3. Consider and hear me, O God, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Hey, what did he do? He was overwhelmed by the situation. So what did he do? He asked God for help. God, could you lighten this load? Could you? He was in a place of fear, some doubt, maybe just some despair, some difficulty, some depression. So I'm just going to keep this inside. You better open up that valve and let that stuff out, or else that'll mess you up on the inside. Right. Prayer of adoration, the prayer of lamentation. What's wrong with me? You're normal. That's what's wrong with you. Nothing wrong with that. Prayer of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is praising God for what He has done. Just think about it for a moment, God's actions in your life, and recognize Him by giving thanks. This will help you build a proper attitude. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Proper attitude of thankfulness in your daily life. Daniel chapter number 2. Daniel chapter number 2. In verse 20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the times and the seasons." Daniel 2:21. "He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him." Look at verse 23. "I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." My wife and I, we share a couple things digitally. We share calendars, which is very helpful. We have the same calendar. We can look at our phones, and I can see what's going on. We have different color coding. I'm blue, she's purple. It just works out good like that. But we also share a shopping list, and that's very helpful, because I'll be driving by, and I'll look at that shopping list, and it's just a checklist, and she can put things in there. And for instance, today, here's a little insight into our house. We needed cat litter, and again, if you want another treat, get a cat, and those are fun. On the way home, I look at that list, and I say, "Okay, is there something I can swing by and pick up?" And that works out well for us. Instead of writing it on the refrigerator and leaving it when we go shopping, we put it in our phones, and then we have it, and we share that, and that works out. Sometimes we say, "Why are you telling me this?" Sometimes we have, that's how we approach our prayer time. "God, let me tell you all the things I need. I need this, and I need this, and I need this." And God says, "I would like you to take some time and just thank me. I would like you to be appreciative and recognize what I've done in your life." And I don't think that's out of line for God to expect that from us, because of all the things He has done for us. I would like you to consider your prayer time. Do you spend time just adoring and praising God for who He is? Do you bring your deepest cares and fears and doubts and despair and difficulty and depression to Him? Do you spend some time just thanking Him for what He has already done? Daniel says, "God, You're wise, and You have knowledge, and thank You for imparting that wisdom." And now, he was praying for wisdom here. Has God answered any of your prayers? Oh, sure. Did you thank Him? Amen. Did you thank Him? Say, "Well, what do I do with my request? You made fun of the list." No, that's good too. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians 4 and verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Yes, God wants to know your requests. So the God that knows everything wants you to tell Him what He already knows. Say, why? Well, because it acknowledges our need for Him. In Ephesians chapter number 3, probably just a few pages back, Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse 14. Ephesians 3:14 through the end of the chapter, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by a spirit in the inner man. Those are requests. God, I have a friend. There's someone here that needs some help, that needs some strength. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, known to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Hey, that's a prayer. That's Paul praying for the body of Christ for strength. Not for stuff, but for strength. Amen. To know God's love. Those are the requests. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 2. I don't know the right word, but is anybody a little disheartened by politics? Is disheartened the right word? Disgusted, that's one. That's better. Okay, repulsed, I don't know. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Do you pray for your government? Do you pray for your officials, your president, your vice president? Sarah, for Christmas, wanted a book, and the boys got her a book about Mike Pence. The name of the book is So Help Me God. Very clear salvation testimony. Grew up Catholic, and then in college, got saved. Says it, born again. You praying for your officials? Well, I'm good at pointing out all the errors. Yeah, me too. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Those are kind of the last two thoughts, right? Thanksgiving and petitions. Included in those men are for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Our governor doesn't need to change parties. Our governor needs Jesus Christ. Our local officials need the Lord Jesus Christ. How much time do you ask and talk to God about those things? The prayers of adoration, the prayers of lamentation, the prayers of thanksgiving, as we make petitions. The prayer of repentance, to ask God for forgiveness for the things that we have done. I got saved, I don't need to do that anymore. Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. Psalm 51, sin still separates and still messes up the relationship. The psalmist here, David, as he writes these words, Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Transgressions is another word for sin. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Sounds like someone was looking for forgiveness. Just a few pages back, maybe in the fly leaf of your Bible, you just write prayer. And you write these words, adoration, lamentation, thanksgiving, petition, repentance. In Psalm 32. So when you say, just having a hard time praying, you open that up and remind yourself of what prayer really is. In Psalm 32, in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I keep silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah." When was the last time you talked to the Lord and asked for forgiveness? Just fix things between you and God. Prayer of repentance. Repentance is much more than just a set of words of saying, "I'm sorry." It's a heart change, a desire to forsake those sins and walk in a new direction, which brings us to our last prayer. The prayer of adoration, the prayer of lamentation, thanksgiving, petitions, repentance, and then prayer for direction. We must express that God knows what is best and that we trust Him to direct our lives when we ask Him for guidance. Proverbs chapter 3, maybe your very own life verses. Say, what is a life verse? Just a verse that really you kind of guides you every step of the way. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." And verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." The prayer for direction. I don't know about you, but I think we all need some direction in our life. In Proverbs chapter 25, Psalm 25. We'll look at two more verses and then we'll be done. Psalm 25 and verse 4. "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Is that your prayer? "Well, I'm going to try and figure this thing out, and then what? Have to backtrack? Why don't you save yourself some time and just ask God first? Hey, if you're 20 years old or 80 years old or anything in between here tonight, the best thing you can do is say, "God, what would you like? Where would you like me to go, and how do you want me to do it?" Jeremiah chapter number 10, last verse, some prayers that we cannot afford to neglect. Jeremiah chapter number 10 and verse 23. "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing." Sounds like a real, real honesty. "God, I know I don't know how to go. Can you correct me? But do it gently, because I know you can squash me." Say, what is that? That's the NIV. That's the Nick International version right there. "O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger." What did he say in verse 23? "I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It is not for me to guide my own steps. God, will you please lead me?" I have a hard time praying. Hey, this is something we cannot afford to neglect. The prayer of adoration, the prayer of lamentation, the prayer of thanksgiving, and to petition the Lord, repentance, and direction. Let's all stand tonight. Maybe you wrote those few thoughts down tonight. Maybe before you pillow your head tonight, you talk to the Lord. Say, "I always thank God for my day." That's great. And I think you should. But maybe the Lord would like a little bit more. Imagine you and your spouse having the exact same conversation every single day. The first time it would be neat, but after about a week of that, that would get old. God doesn't have a set of prayers he wants you to recite back to him. He wants you to pray with your heart and truly connect and commune with him. That's what prayer is. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for tonight. God, I thank you for your patience with us. God, I know I fail in this area. I know I can do better. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us with that. Pray you help me with that. Lord, I acknowledge that I'm just a mess and I need you. Lord, I pray that you would lead us, guide us, Lord, help us. Lord, we have fears, we have doubts. God, there's things that are in our life that truly, unless you get involved, they're going to end in ruin. Lord, I pray that you'd work miracles. Lord, have your hand upon us now. Watch over us. Protect us as we travel home. Give us strength. Lord, help us to know the love of God tonight. Lord, we love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.